Belgian Confession, Article 22, how to get the benefits of Christ's sacrifice. Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if someone were to give you a new iPhone XR, I found out that's the newer one that's available, you would know that it costs a bundle, and a big bundle too. But if you don't know how to use that iPhone XR and get the benefits from it, what use is it? If you don't know how to use it, that beautiful iPhone XR becomes nothing more than a paperweight. No purpose. Real purpose. Now, Christ was your atoning sacrifice when he died on the cross. And he gave you the greatest gift you could ever hope to have. But how do you get the benefits of Christ's substitution, his sacrifice? How does the atonement benefit come from the cross to Canada? Do you have to do anything? Today you will hear what the Bible teaches of how you are able to get the benefits of Christ's substitutionary death. Our headings are: you acquire faith from the Holy Spirit, and second, you apply faith from the Holy Spirit. And you get the hint there? That's how we get what Jesus Christ did for us. Our goals are that you will grab hold of faith that comes from the Holy Spirit, that you will use its benefits to serve the Lord. Let's read then from Belgic Confession, Article 22. Together, we believe that to attain the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Spirit kindles in our hearts an upright faith, which embraces Jesus Christ with all his merits, appropriates him, and seeks nothing more besides him. For one can conclude either that all things which are necessary to our salvation are not in Jesus Christ, or if all things are in him, that then those who possess Jesus Christ through faith have complete salvation in him. Therefore, for any to declare that Christ is not sufficient, but that something more is required besides him, would be too gross a blasphemy. For hence it would follow that Christ was but half a Savior. Therefore, we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone, or by faith apart from works. However, to speak more clearly, we do not mean that faith itself justifies us, for it is only an instrument with which we embrace Christ our righteousness. But Jesus Christ imputing to us all his merits, and so many holy works which he has done for us and in our stead, is our righteousness. And faith is an instrument that keeps us in communion with him in all his benefits, which, when they become ours, are more than sufficient to acquit us of our sins. The word acquit there means to remove, to take away, or to declare not guilty. So you acquire faith from the Holy Spirit. How do you get the benefits of Christ's sacrifice? The Holy Spirit creates faith in you. Now Jesus, the incarnate Son of God who took on human flesh to meet God's requirement, was your atoning sacrifice on the cross. We say that Jesus fixed your relationship with God. You're no longer enemies with God, but friends of God, even children of God. Remember the two big words from the last time. Jesus expiated our sins. Means he puts a covering so no one can see it. More, Jesus propitiated our sins. In other words, he removed God's anger. He took God's wrath, so we are free, So there's a covering, expiation, and propitiation, satisfying God's anger. And both were necessary. So, how do we get what Jesus did to be part of us? How do you get the benefits of expiation and propitiation of your sins? Faith. Faith is the means by which you are able to receive the benefits of the atonement. Simply put, if you don't have faith, you can't receive Christ's atonement. It's that simple. So what is faith? You can learn a lot about faith from Hebrews 11, but it's simply faith is spiritual hands by which you receive the work of Christ into your souls. Those hands are sure knowledge and a firm confidence. Knowledge and confidence, the hands by which you receive what Christ offers. And when you have faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, nothing slips out. You may have a baseball glove, but if you don't know how to catch, you know you're going to drop some of those balls when they come that way. When you have faith, that knowledge and confidence, nothing ever slips out. By the way, you see why you need to teach people the Word of God. People need to hear that, because that's the way that faith will come. And by faith, you're able to catch and to hold on to the benefits of Jesus Christ. More specifically now, how do you get that faith? The Holy Spirit gives faith as a gift. Faith starts when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. A popular verse, easy to remember, is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's read then together. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith starts with hearing the word of God. And the Holy Spirit helps you as you hear the word of God to see your sin and to see why Christ had to live for you and why Christ had to die for you as a substitute on the cross. Without his work, the things of God which are in the word of God are unintelligible. You can't get it. It doesn't make sense. That's why sometimes people read the Bible and they don't agree, they don't believe. Because the Holy Spirit isn't working there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 together. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit must work in your spirit so that you can understand what you are reading. So with union of the Word and the Holy Spirit in your heart, faith is produced, and the benefits of Christ's redeeming work are then imputed or credited to you. And as a result, you are no longer under any condemnation of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18, 19, and 21. Let's read together. Now all things are of God, who are reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the Lord takes away the sin and imputes righteousness. What happened to our sins? They were imputed to Christ. He took our sins when he died on the cross. Remember when God turned away from him? It's because he had our sins on him. And he gave us righteousness. So that's how we get faith. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. People who emphasize the Holy Spirit in you and don't emphasize the Word will not have faith. Some people who are only intellectually inclined and they just want to read the word without depending upon the Spirit, they will not have faith. You need the word and the Spirit of God. But this knowledge of how the Holy Spirit works through the word to give you this faith by which you receive what Christ did is a mystery to those in darkness. So here are two warnings. First of all, don't be upset if people don't understand that you have received salvation in Jesus Christ. They might think, well, what's wrong with it? What are you talking about? I don't get that. Well, be patient with them. They have to be trained. It takes a while for them to understand, and maybe they won't ever understand why you are different. And you know, the other side of that is most people have been trained to do things to please God. And you're talking about receiving hands, faith, knowledge, confidence, just receiving what God did. We're trained to do things. What are you talking about? I'll be patient. That's every other religion in the world. Do this, do this, do this, and God will be happy with you. Whereas Christians go to God and say, I can't do anything, but he did it for me. He did it on the cross. So be patient when people don't get the idea that they simply have to receive. Keep teaching them the word of God. Second, don't be surprised, though, that some who hear the gospel don't get faith. Remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't work in everyone. Or sometimes he takes a long time before he works. There's some people who have heard the gospel dozens and dozens of times and they still don't respond. And then suddenly you think, well, what happened? Well, that's how the Holy Spirit works. He blows wherever he wishes. And you could speak until you're blue in the face. Sometimes he doesn't respond. Your job is to keep speaking. That's what you are called to do. I let him work. But don't be surprised if you're witnessing to someone for 10, 20, 30 years and they don't look to Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. This faith is critical for salvation. And it's a gift that is absolutely free. You don't have to pay for it. You can't pay for it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29 says together, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Granted means gifted. It has to be gifted. So faith cannot be bought. There was someone who tried to do that. Remember Simon in the Bible? They're trying to buy the Holy Spirit, to buy faith. You can't buy it. You can't even earn it. God doesn't look and say, well, he's trying really hard and I'll pay him back with some faith. And you have no right to it. You can't say, I demand it, because faith is a gift of God. No one deserves faith. But it's available. That's what makes it so special. That's what makes it so special. But it also tells us there's no ground for boasting. I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, true, we decide, but the only reason we decide is because God has worked in our hearts before. He gave us faith. We don't decide and then get faith. He gives us faith. And then we respond in obedience. That's what we're reading about and memorizing from James. We respond in faith. So we must be humble when we come to the Lord. That's why we worship him every week. That's why we worship him in our homes. He's giving us something that we could not buy. We have no right to it, and yet he gave it to us. Next, consider that faith requires an object. How do we get what Christ has? Faith. But sometimes when people say faith, they mean something in the air. Just blind belief system, something esoteric, airy. But no, faith requires an object, as no one can rest on nothing. You ever seen someone trying to put their arms or their elbows and to rest on air? What happens? You fall. You must rest on something or someone. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 now, together. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He is the object of your faith. And hear this now. A little technical, but I'm sure you can manage to grasp this. The value of your faith is not found in the act of faith, but in the object of your faith. The issue is not that you believe. The issue is in whom you believe. Many people believe. They know intellectually that something is true. The demons believe that there is one God, but do they trust in him? No. We trust in Christ. This is why Jeremiah said, the Lord is our righteousness. He is the source. He's the one we depend on. And why am I getting to those technical things and talking about the act of faith or the object of faith? I'm saying the act of faith doesn't have any value. It's the object of faith, the one in whom you put your trust. Well, there's a reason for that. Since those of other religions or those of no religions do not have faith in Jesus Christ, they don't have the benefits of the atonement, of that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and therefore they're all heading to hell. See, the object of the faith is important. Now, this, of course, must not make you say, well, at least I'm okay. Rather, this should motivate you to say, I've got to get this message to the lost. I have to talk about Jesus Christ. Yeah, they say they believe in God. Yeah, they say they're living a good life. And it looks outwardly like they're not so bad. But if they're not resting in Jesus Christ, if the object of their faith is not Jesus Christ, then there's no atonement for their sins. They cannot receive that forgiveness. Remember, we said faith has to do with knowledge and confidence. Well, that knowledge part is where you start, where you come in. You have to tell them about that. So invest your wealth. Invest your prayer. Invest in the lost. The Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, and the atheists do not have faith. They cannot have faith. It is a gift of God. So feel sad for them and move. Move to them. And then therefore you can say, number 7, that faith is an instrument. Faith is not a verb. It's a noun. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 16. We say together, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it is a thing, not a verb, not an action. More about the receiving, where the hands that receive what Christ has done. But faith is not just something that leads you to Jesus Christ and helps you to receive what he has done, and then suddenly faith has ended because you've received Christ. No, faith needs fuel to grow. Otherwise, it remains stagnant or dormant, and then you become lethargic. Your progress in your Christian life will not be there. So what's the fuel for this faith? The fuel for your faith is the Word of God. It causes your faith to get stronger as the Holy Spirit works through that Word. You may believe in Christ and yet not grow as you should if you're not a student of the Word of God, if you're not taking the time to meditate on His truth, and the knowledge of the cross can become more and more in the background, and other things come in between. And that's what happens, what the prophet said of old, the gold in this life can become dim. Jeremiah spoke. But an increasing faith makes the gold shine again. So you have to continue to feed on Him through His word. For He is the vine and you are the branches of the vine. And the more you draw from Him, the more you will be strengthened. And that's where we move to next. How do we apply faith from the Holy Spirit? How do we apply faith? We know we get it through His working, through the Word. We know what it is and how do you get it. Well, how do you apply that personally? Well, faith, first of all, moves you to embrace, hold on to, and rest on Jesus Christ, the object of your faith, with all His merits. Hebrews 11 says that there were many, many. The writer describes those who had faith in Jesus Christ as a cloud of witnesses, meaning so many. You hold on to Jesus by faith, for faith is the bond that makes you, it's the glue, literal, makes you stick to Christ's life and death. Holding on to Jesus then makes His gifts yours. His perfect obedience is yours. His death as your death. By yourself, you don't have the means by which you can hold on to Christ. You can know Christ died on the cross for sinners, but only intellectually. But when faith comes, you receive that into your soul. And after you hold on to the object of your faith, God then declares you righteous, justified, counting Christ's righteousness as yours. Then God sees you through Christ. You know, if you get a piece of red glass and you look, bring it up to your eyes, everything looks red. And so when God looks at us, He sees us through Christ. And who was Christ? The perfect man who perfectly obeyed God's word. The one who took sin on Himself and died. And that's how God sees you. This is illustrated for us in the old Chinese script. Well, the Chinese character for righteousness is composed of two separate characters, one standing for a lamb and the other for me. And when lamb is placed directly above me, a new character, righteousness, is formed. It is the Lamb of God that makes you clean. And so God looks at us through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's when you apply the faith from the Holy Spirit. Look at a few verses now from Romans chapter 3, 25 and 26. Together, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He justifies us through Jesus Christ. That's a complicated sentence, but take your time, you will see the wonder of it. God shows us how Jesus Christ became our righteousness. An easier one is Romans 3:28. Together, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Everyone else says, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. And the Bible says, no, this is what you have to receive. It's free. It's done. And once you receive it, God declares you to be perfect. So let this knowledge of your total dependence on the Holy Spirit for your faith humble you. What do you do? What does a humble man do? He praises God. This doctrine leads us to our knees. Worship God for all he has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31 say together, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." When we apply the message or the work of Christ on the cross, we receive that by faith and apply it to our lives, and we realize the richness of what the Lord has done for us, we glory in the Lord. You see why sometimes some of the songs that people sing, how shallow they are, I reference, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It is true. But we forget the other part, the big part. When did we decide? It's after God moved first. He is the first mover. He is the one who gave us the desire. For it's God who works in us to will and to do what pleases him. So when you hear someone say, "God has done his part. He sent his son to die for you, and now it's up to you to do your part," don't believe it. It's a lie. This weakens and cheapens your salvation in the Lord. Depend upon God's word and God's spirit to create and strengthen your faith so that you can receive God's truth. It is God who must work. God's hands are not tied. If God's hands were tied, as charismatics assert, you will be going to hell. But no, he reaches down, and his spirit works in you and draws you to himself. Now let me highlight one significant error that is taught to millions or hundreds of millions of Roman Catholics, and it's this. They teach faith is mental agreement with the doctrine and work of Christ. It's about your head. And since mental agreement is a kind of work, they then teach that God rewards that good work, that mental agreement, and he rewards it with grace, more and more, bit by bit. And then God infuses more and more grace to you the more you have mental agreement with what he has done. This is called progressive or continuous justification. But what that does is that it minimizes the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches he died one time for all. When he died, all your sins were gone, the sins of the past and the present and the future. What they do is really confuse justification and sanctification. Those are the next two topics we will deal with. Justification is that declaration by God that your sins are gone because of Jesus' sacrifice. And then you have sanctification where God cleans you out. The Roman Catholics just sort of mixed the two up together and made salvation kind of a justification. In doing this, though, they rob the Holy Spirit of praise for what he does for believers. You ask me why I'm happy? Let me tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. They're gone, all of them. And there's another error that has become popular in recent times among some Christians. Some argue that you're justified when God sees faith working in you of your own merit, and he's therefore compelled to reward that faith. They believe that you're not saved by faith as a gift, but by your covenant faithfulness, by your actions. It's kind of what they're saying. They teach that faith includes works. And this is very dangerous as well, and very close to the Roman Catholic doctrine that robs Christ of his glory. Faith is not a work you perform. Faith simply receives what God freely offers. And what does God freely offer to sinners? He offers the merits and works of Jesus Christ, which are more than sufficient to justify even the worst sinner in the world. Your works are nothing. Even your works as a Christian, the Bible says, are tainted by sin. You never have perfectly pure motive. So God can't say, well, I'm going to save you because you have done good things. But he can say, I will save you because Christ has done good things for you. And you receive that by faith, and you're strong. Last verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Together, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No means no. No one can be justified, even partly by works. Let's summarize. Christ had to receive a full measure of God's wrath. Wrath that he should have put on you. But he was your faithful substitute. But he was more than that. He did more. He sent his Holy Spirit to work through his word. As you study it, as you hear it, to create faith in you that you can receive and rest upon his work. It's not just what he did, it's how it comes to you. He provided even that. And when you do this, when you receive what he has given to you, you're declared free from all sins. You're justified. Nothing else could justify you. Nothing else would make God justify you but the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. People may be well-meaning. They may appear to be nice. But they're lost without the cross. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, thank God that God's Holy Spirit works through God's Word to create your spiritual hands. You can hold on permanently to the work of Jesus Christ. You don't drop it like you play baseball and drop the ball. Once you have the hands of faith, you receive what Christ did and you never let go. So continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will work in you, not for salvation, the Lord has saved you, but that you will dig into the Word of God. If you don't, your faith will become kind of dormant and stagnate. You know, there's an old Sunday school chorus I learned many, many years ago, and it said, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Same thing is true today. You want your faith to be strong, to grow, to trust him more. Go to God's word. You know, this is what removes the fear of death. This is what removes uncertainty, fear of the future, all the other troubles you go through. It's when your faith gets stronger. I know as a young Christian, I didn't want to die. But as time passes, as your faith gets stronger, death doesn't scare you like it used to. You don't try to die, but death is not a scary thing anymore. Why? Because God works in you and strengthens your faith. And that's true for all kinds of things. And then work that others would get faith and be saved. Take them to the Word of God and pray for the Holy Spirit to work in them. If you don't give people the word of God, it means you're not interested in their salvation. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you gave someone the Word of God? Maybe not the physical Bible, but speaking to them the Word of God. Confronting them about their sin. Let me encourage you to do so. Show you care about their salvation. Show you care about the honor of God that we talked about. Ultimately, salvation is about the glory of God. Start with the Word of God. And for those who are not Christians, if you want to be saved, read your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You will learn what Jesus did for sinners. And as His Word and Spirit work in you, you will believe and be saved. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit worked in us through your word to create faith in us. And by that faith, we have received what you have done through your Son on the cross. And now we've been declared as perfectly pure because you see us through Jesus Christ. What a privilege that is. But Lord, it never ends there. Help us then to be those who will tarry in your word, spend time there, so our faith will be stronger and grow. And then help us to lead others to the source of life by sharing the word of God with them and praying that your Holy Spirit will work through that word and create faith in them as well. Give us that passion for the lost. Zeal to see them come to know Jesus Christ and receive the blessing that we have in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.